are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. Well, one of the more telling stories today, to me, has got to be this immunity request. Yeah, when you hear the word immunity, you know there's something coming after it, right? And how about FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe? The name sound familiar, friends? Well, he is willing to talk if he has immunity. I'm not making that up at all. That's the request that's been put in. Now, the question is, will they give him immunity? And I guess we could take some Vegas bets right now and see what we think, huh? I'm potentially thinking that's probably not going to happen. Let's see what Colonel Jim Warshuk thinks, but... I wasn't really terribly surprised to see this, Jim, but the fact, it's really telling, isn't it, when a guy like this is seeking immunity. He wants legal immunity in exchange for his testimony on the FBI, the handling of this investigation into Hillary Clinton and the use of her email server and all of whatever comes out of that. You surprised?
I'm partly surprised, because if you go back and look at everything he has said prior to that over the last, oh, let's say 6 months, you know, he was pretty, you know, flippant and almost braggadocio about how things were going and what his involvement was. And all of a sudden, he reaches a point and it comes out that he is now requesting immunity, as you said. And that really changes the tone from the standpoint of, obviously, there are those who know much more of his involvement. When you step back now and look at it from a big picture sense, you come to the realization of how egregious the things that he did were, and it's almost now unimaginable. I also want, as far as whether or why he asked, you know, as I said, there are those who realize that the goods are there, but for him to ask now tells me he's taken from his angle as far as he could and came up against a brick wall, realized he's got nowhere else to go, you know, other than to jail. So,
well, do you have any doubt in your mind, if it comes down to him or Comey, that he's going to save himself? I mean, is there any doubt in your mind now?
Well, that's exactly where I'm going with this. We're going to start watching all these.
They're going to drop.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they all know everything. They all know, and now they're all in. They're all going to go into the mode. It's a natural human reaction to go into a mode to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you have to throw the guy who you trusted the most and who you were involved with the most under the bus, it's going to happen. And you have to realize these people are being talked to separately, and it's being revealed to them what's known, and you know who has the goods on who, and you know they're going to be getting pleas and other requests from all of them. So
right.
It's not just.
Yeah, no.
It's not just McCabe.
No, there'll be others. There'll be others. But the question is, how's this going to fall? I mean, so he says, you got to remember now, McCabe got that criminal referral from the IG. So he had a criminal referral already. So that's kind of a telling sign there. So his attorney says he's willing to testify, but he must be afforded a legal protection, suitable legal protection, are the words the attorney used. And he goes on to say, this is a textbook case. I love it when attorneys talk like that, you know, for granting use immunity. If this committee is unwilling or unable to obtain such an order, then Mr. McCabe will have no choice but to invoke his Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination. Go figure. Isn't that nice, huh? You know, he's going to plead fifth. You know that. He's not going to say a damn thing.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
what's going to happen here, yeah. So, you know, very interesting. I think it's very, very telling. But then again, we've been talking about this for months, Jim, and we know that McCabe is guilty. I mean, and chances of him, you know, wearing the color orange are pretty high at this point. I think we've talked about this, right? I mean, you would agree with that. I mean, it's
oh, absolutely. And yeah. You know, there may be the point where charges are presented, and it all depends what comes out of other testimony where immunity is not granted, and even though he pleads the fifth, the evidence is going to be there.
Well, that's,
you know, he may get in exchange a lighter sentence.
Yeah,
but I still believe firmly that he will be one of the ones wearing orange.
Well, yeah, there's going to be a lot of criminal charges here with all of this, and that's what's going to come about. And by the way, the IG report is, I mean, from all reports, this elusive report should be out, they say, now, and I've looked at many sources on this, but it should be days. Now, when I say days, people, it's chances are it's usually these kinds of things lately have been a Friday night special, you know. However, mm-hmm. My guess is it's, and this is my guess, I'd like to compare with yours, Colonel, but I think it's going to be after North Korea. I think it's going to be late next week is what I'm thinking. I don't know that it'll be this week. It'd be a surprise if it fell this Friday, late Friday, but I think it's going to be the following week. Do you have a different opinion?
Yeah, I think they'll save it for after North Korea.
Yeah.
But... And I say this from the standpoint right now, it's in the hands of so many people. It's being
the draft report. The draft report.
The draft report is being right. Passed around, and we're hearing
bits and pieces, which I want to talk about that today.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's totally leaked by the weekend.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, because, in fact, that's one of the things we're going to talk about today on Nozzle, because ABC News Reports already has something out I want to talk to you about regarding James Comey, the FBI director, who's another one that will probably wear. He'll probably wear dark orange, is my guess. That's got to be more incriminating somehow.
I want to see him in stripes.
Stripes. Oh, well, it could be black and white, or like the old black and white. That's true.
Hey.
Right? Hard to say, Jim, but we'll see. Other big news today is, and this is to me, really may even be the biggest story of the day, is President Trump signs the VA Mission Act. And this is big time stuff, people. We've been talking about this for probably, you know, potentially 10 years or so, maybe. It's been a long time. And we keep talking about it. I've talked about it on radio forever, it seems. And finally, this president steps out and does something. He signs this bill today. Very interesting. We'll talk about this and how this will impact veterans and the Department of Veterans Affairs more so. And this gets back to allowing veterans to have choice. That's what we're talking about here. So that is a major development today. And interesting vote on that, too. The numbers of that vote and how that came down. Very, very fascinating. And they are getting ready right now for the big summit in Singapore. And friends, this is one of the weeks I am really looking forward to being a journalist, a newscaster, radio guy. It's really good to cover these historical moments and historical events like this. And so I'm like a kid in a candy shop next week. but with the whole North Korea-Singapore thing, the only thing that would be better than this actually is if I had a ticket to Singapore to be there on the sidelines to watch watch all this happen would be just fantastic. But and I hear there's another person going to be there, Dennis Rodman. I predicted this to you all. I told you, Jim, as well. Rodman was going to be an important ambassador to this. Talking about Rodman being in Singapore. Did you hear this, Jim, by chance? Did you hear this one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Ooh. Doesn't really surprise me, but it is very interesting. He's actually, you're going to love some of the comments that were made, guys. He actually has taken some of the credit for this, believe it or not, with this world peace potential here. But interesting. Also, Iran is in the news, and not in a great way either, but and it linked to the Obama administration and secretly given access to the financial systems here in a very secretive way here. And another big, big story today, blockbuster story, really. And it's just really coming out, friends. So we don't really have all the pieces of this, but we got enough to chat about it today. Of course, as I shared with you yesterday, Mitch McConnell, Senate President, he is going to cancel the August recess. Curious to see what Colonel Warshak thinks about that. The president pardoned that Alice Johnson as well, by the way, today, which was the drug offender, first-time offense, who had a lifetime in jail. A lot of these people that do drugs end up in jail for a lifetime with no chance of parole. Very, very weird. And our jails are so upside down backwards. But anyways, he pardoned her today. That was that Kardashian lady who was in the White House this past week. Remember, we talked about that. So a lot more news, friends, here at the top of Nozzle here. And please say hello to Colonel Jim Warshak, one of our favorites, of course, and who's an expert in a big part of America Out Loud. We always get great feedback with Colonel Warshak, whether it's his written columns as a weekly columnist and all the great points of view he has there, and as a on-air commentator with us all and the things we do here. So, Colonel, take just a few moments, please, and tell folks about your background. They probably know it already, but tell them anyways, will you?
Well, I'm a 30-year career U.S. Air Force colonel. Spent most of my time doing strategic and special mission intelligence in the special operations community, and did my time in Washington, D.C. at the Pentagon and the Joint Staff and the intelligence agencies in the White House, and trying to make the effort to make people better understand what's going on in our world.
Yeah. Well, you define the word patriotism, sir, always. And so, friends, we're going to have a great dialogue and talk just ahead. More Nozzle in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Who has a family, he has children. This is a man who is really still in the prime of his life. I mean, he's not 80 years old, you understand. And he's not 20 either, so he should know better, clearly. But so here's a man who's got a lot at risk, a lot at stake here. And so what if, with everything he knows, so we know he knows a lot, Jim. So what if he was willing to talk not only on James Comey, but all the way up to, again, the White House? What if he was able to talk about Hillary Clinton? What if he talked about Barack Obama? What if he talked about James Comey? So what if he talked about the things he really knew and he opened up that way and threw all of them under the bus? What would happen? I mean, in that case, would you give a guy like this immunity?
I would say no, primarily because as a senior government official, right, who has taken the oath and is clearly fully knowledgeable of all the consequences at play here. Mm-hmm. I would have to say no. He may have a lot of information, but he also, in the nature of the work he was involved in, when you get into that level of responsibility, you have to weigh the responsibility first versus, you know, if you're, I've been there, you know, in my military career, and I know had I made the decision to do something illegal or unethical, unpatriotic, whatever you want to, I have to weigh my personal, the impact on my personal life pretty heavily in that one when you come to dealing with kids and family and everything.
So you're saying he shouldn't skate. He shouldn't skate.
You can't put that before them.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying based on him. But but wait a minute. You're saying he shouldn't skate. He should pay the price for that. I mean, I get that. I get that. And most people would agree with what you say there. I mean, you got to pay the price for the crime. If you're willing to commit the crime, there has to be a price to pay for that. I mean, I think we all really get what that is. Anybody that's honorable would understand what that means. But what if they have the opportunity to go higher than him? Do they use, and I guess it really depends upon whether they can go after these other people because they have enough information, or they are shy of that and they need a major witness, and if he's a major witness to something, would that still be a trade-off where you let a guy like that, you know, does he get away with something? Because you know how they do it. I mean, this is how prosecutors do it. They use people to go after other people, you know. So, but
and I'm weighing all that in there. And here's my point.
Okay.
There are too many people who know too much.
I see.
And for him to testify against, let's say, Hillary Clinton or someone in the White House,
right,
that allows some form of indictment or prosecution to go against one, they're going to get it from somebody else. And so
you think they can get the job done without him? I see. Interesting.
Worst case, there's always a worst case scenario. We don't know how the prosecutors are going to do in this.
That's right.
You know, he will get, I believe he'll get, because of what he did is so beyond imaginable. He might not get 10 years, but maybe he'll get 5 years.
Right.
He's going to get sentence. He might get a lesser sentence.
Yeah, they may do a plea bargain here. They may just do that.
He may do a plea bargain, absolutely.
You're right. That's another option for him. Yeah.
And it all depends on what we get from so many of the other people who are in this whole mix. And I believe there's others that we haven't even heard yet.
That's the big deal.
What's coming out.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this this draft now. Okay, so let me tell folks here. So the Department of Justice, the Inspector General again. So the you've been hearing about the IG report, guys, out there. So the draft report, as you were just saying a bit ago here, Colonel, that is already sort of in a few hands. And you, like you said, you wouldn't be surprised if it started coming out. Well, some parts of it already are. ABC News Reports has a report out today about this, again, coming from Inspector General Michael Horowitz now. And so there's some claims that first of all, James Comey defied authority. Like that, I mean, they use certain words here. Insubordinate, that's the word I'm seeing here, Jim. So they say that the report will show that as soon as it's released, that his behavior was insubordinate, and that also Loretta Lynch, the attorney general at the time, that it will also rebuke her for her handling of the federal investigation into Hillary Clinton's personal email server, which you got to remember, all of this information was held back. All of this, you got to remember the outrage here. But this was going to impact a presidential race. This was going to impact the future of the country. This was going to impact a lot of pieces when all this was happening back there in the campaign mode. When you remember all we were talking about was this email server she had in somebody's closet or something. And the whole thing was, it was insane what was going on. I mean, nobody could really wrap their arms around it, why anybody would do that. And we know a lot of this information ended up in foreign hands. There's no doubt about it. I mean, these people are all over us. Just like we spy on everybody, Jim, they're spying on us. And so clearly they know everything about Hillary and her background and everything else going on. You know, there's no doubt there. But so this ABC News report, you're not surprised. I'm sure you're not surprised with any of this. And, you know, and I got to tell you, Jim, honestly speaking here, the more I'm seeing about this IG report. So right now, the president, they say, has not seen this report yet. This kind of surprised me. It said the president probably hasn't seen it, or he probably will not see it, they're saying, before its release, which surprised me somewhat. That's at least what they're saying, that in this news report here from ABC. However, they could revise the draft report now that the current and former officials mentioned it have offered their responses. I get a real funny hibby-jibbies on this one, Jim. I think that this means that, what does this really mean? Does this mean that we're going to get the unvarnished truth? Or is this going to be another smokescreen put on something that's delivered, which I think what a lot of us are worried about, you know, that it's watered down? You afraid of that at all?
No. I'm writing an article about this now, and my belief is the president has seen the report.
You think he has? He
seen the report. I believe he has.
See, I thought so.
Certainly
too.
His lawyers have.
Right.
And they are handling this accordingly. You know, President Trump came out the other day and said that it better not be tinkered with and
he did
watered
say
down.
You're right. Thing. You're right.
He did say that in a text.
Yeah.
And I believe that was part of the strategy. Like I've always said, he's two and three steps ahead of everybody on everything. And I believe that was a message that suggests, I know what's in the report.
Jim, let me read that tweet. You know, let me read that tweet. Yeah, let me read this so everybody knows what you're talking about, because you have a valid point with that, and it kind of is in direct opposition to what the news reports are saying that he hasn't, which I kind of did a double take, Jim, say, come on, there's no way. First of all, you got to remember that this whole Department of Justice reports to the president, which is a really odd setup, as I say to you all the time out there, how we have this thing. You know, this reports to the president, to the executive branch. All right, so here's the president's tweet. He says, what has taken so long with the Inspector General's report on crooked Hillary and slippery James Comey? Can't make this stuff up, people. Numerous delays, he says. I hope report is not being changed and made weaker. There are so many horrible things to tell. The public has the right to know. Transparency! Exclamation mark. That was the tweet, Jim, right there.
Yep. You know, that tells me that was a intended test to anybody who might try to water it down. That we know we've seen the report.
So, with everything you understand, and I know you study this stuff back and forth. So, the IG report comes out now. We should know within the next 7-8 days. We believe. 9 days at the most, hopefully. We should have this report in our hands and see what it is. So does this report change the game at all? And I ask that because like this ABC News report, where they start used to words like, very careful words like, Comey was insubordinate and, you know, things like that. And the other one, the rebuke of the Attorney General Loretta Lynch. I'm already feeling, I got to tell you, Jim, I'm already feeling a little uneasy because, and I know these are leaks and different things that people are saying, but to me, that's being very kind and very nice. Those are very gentle words for what these people really did. And I'm just wondering how much is this going to be, you know, watered down like that, or how much will be, you know, repackaged, if any, you know. And so will this report really be a game changer, or will it just be another blip on the screenshot here? Because we keep having these moments where we think something's going to happen that's going to be like, okay, there's the news right there, finally. There's the aha moment. So does that really happen this time in your heart of hearts? Do you see that as being the case, or do you see this as just being another blip on the screen or the game changer? Which is it, Jim?
This is going to be the game changer.
Wow.
The scale of corruption that is going to be revealed in this is beyond imaginable. This is, you know, Watergate times 100, Watergate times 1,000, and that was pretty devastating for as many years ago as that was. I really believe this is really going to pull the lid off of what was going on in the Obama administration, and I think the game changer for it will be extreme level of devastation to the Democratic Party, because I think what's going to be later revealed was how the Democratic Party was involved. I think we'll see things with the DNC's their involvement. We have to go in and start looking at the other people in other agencies who were involved in this. And I mean, this is where we get to Brennan and others in the other agencies. I mean, this scandal is going to be far and wide in a number of areas across our government. And I really think it's going to be an eye opener, and it's going to have a major impact. There's a lot of things at play. We talked about the Senate being kept in Washington this summer and not going into their summer recess. Certainly they've talked about because they want to take care of the budget, but I really think there's too much going to be going on this summer. Like I said before, I don't believe this is going to be a very quiet summer. We've got midterm elections coming up. You know, the Democrats are screaming already that they're not going to be able to go home and campaign in August because they've got to stay in Washington, and they're all up in arms over that, and they're blaming McConnell for keeping them in Washington. I think people are staying in Washington because they either fear or they're going to be touting their chest over what comes out of this, and I think we'll see a lot of the beginnings of a bigger investigation, because you know this is going to revamp the House and Senate Intelligence Committee's investigations, and there'll probably be other committees being brought in to start investigations on this whole thing, on just corruption in the White House alone. If it gets to that, and I think it will, now they're going to be addressing internal operations in the White House, the involvement of people using their government time and their government resources to run a political campaign. I mean, you have to walk a fine line when you're the president and you're running political campaigns just for yourself for re-election, but now you're totally involved in trying to ensure that Hillary Clinton is going to get re-elected, and you're right in bed conducting business with using the national intelligence apparatus and the FBI to do your dirty work. I mean, that's just incredible. That's that's where I said this is Watergate times 1,000.
Well, you know, it goes back to the theory that I've been talking about for years now, in that government is too big. And it's too big, and it's too cumbersome. It's not effective. It's not lean. It doesn't operate the way we would like to see it operate, that most Americans would like to see it. And this investigation, everything that's happening, everything that's going to come out from this, and also some other interesting points from the Trump administration, prove the fact that government, it's a runaway locomotive here, people, and we've got to bring it back in the handle. You know, the whole crux of this, I want everybody to remember, is government works for us, and that is long gone in our recent minds. People don't even think of it that way anymore. When average Americans are scared of their government, when they're afraid of what's really happening, you know, we've lost the race, people. We've lost it. And that's really what's happened now. That's where we're at this moment in time. It's become its own living organism unto itself. And so, but that's not the way it's intended, people. Government works for us. We call the shots. We elect these clowns, these people, whoever they, you know, these politicians to go up there. And the Americans haven't been doing the job. They haven't been holding people accountable. And this is the result of what we have. So listen, I've been preaching about this for years. I preached through the Obama administration. I preached through the Bush administration. This was happening. And this is all part of this big bureaucracy and deep state with Republicans and Democrats alike. You know, what really irritated me over the years, Colonel, is the Republicans used to run around, you know, I remember 10 years ago with the Republicans, you know, and this just make me sick. You know, they'd say, oh, well, you know, we're the party of small government, you know. And then they would do things that would be directly, you know, opposite of what that would mean. And I would always shake my head and wonder, what are they talking about? Or why, you know, they're not being small government here. And I've seen that happen over the years, which is why I called out the last, you know, three, four administrations. And that's what we have now. We have the result of this big government that is it's in a lot of trouble, a lot of problems here. And we're seeing the result of this. And this is something that hopefully Trump, being in the White House now, will address. And I think a lot of people look at Trump as a different kind of character. And there's a lot of reasons. And I got another report I want to share with you after, Jim. Something else the president did today that I find very fascinating. But before we do that, I got to talk to you about the VA Mission Act that he signed today. This is a big, big victory for vets. So he signed the legislation paving the way for a major overhaul of the Department of Veterans Administration. Now, this measure had passed 92-5, and it was obviously a major bipartisan victory for Trump. This was to overhaul the VA, finally. It was legislation that gives veterans access to health care in the private sector at government expense. Which, Jim, we've been talking about this for how long that we've been talking about that point? And finally, this is a big deal, is it not?
Yeah, this is phenomenal. This is something that we as veterans and the military have been asking for years. And it really, if you don't understand what it's all about, it really is a money saver to taxpayers because it gets rid of duplication of effort. And, you know, when after World War II, World War I and World War II, we created the VA system and we created VA hospitals all around the country because we had tens of millions of veterans who needed them. And granted, we still have millions of veterans, but we don't have the numbers that we had from World War II, yet we kept these legacy hospitals and clinics open around the country. And while they in many cases, they offer valid and legitimate service to the veterans there are, they're just not in the time and place, and everything technology has not been able to keep up with them. And most veterans would be better suited to be able to pick their hospital or clinic, their doctor. You know, it's kind of what you heard from Obamacare, where if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Well, what it really does is it allows veterans to use local services that are, you know, what they need, regardless of what it is. The government will pay for it. The government is already paying for it now. But we're paying for this old legacy system that costs billions and billions of dollars a year to run. And I think in the long run, once we transition to the new system, it will be better for veterans, it'll be better for the American taxpayer, and it'll be better certainly for the services that are provided. And it'll save time. You won't have veterans trying, you know, you hear the horror stories of it takes 6 months to get an appointment, and some of these veterans die before they get to their appointment to be seen for whatever the ailment was they had. They have to travel many, many miles to a veterans clinic, depending on where they live, to the closest one to them. So I think this, from a logical standpoint, what the president did here was you know, like he does everything else. He is a businessman, and he looks at the bottom line, and he says, what's the most effective and efficient way to do it? And this answered mm-hmm. this answered the question, and so I think it's the right thing to do.
Well, as you say, veterans were dying. Why the federal government can't run health care? But, you know, what the politicians did when Obama and his cronies pushed this through, through the middle of the night, the bill that everybody could not read, they had to get it in there before anybody could potentially read the bill. You know, remember Nancy Pelosi, just got to pass this thing and we'll see what's in it later. Very ingenious idea. Very, very ingenious. She's a real intellect, I'll tell you. And so now we end up with this massive thing and you say, well, it's not working. Well, no kidding, it's not working right. We don't even know what the hell was in the bill. They signed something, they didn't even know what was in there. But this is what happens. And then you want to know, but we already had an example of this. Case in point, evidence envelope number one was the Veterans Administration, was the way they were running their healthcare system for our vets. You would think you would hold your vets in high esteem. You would think you wouldn't give them a welfare-induced healthcare program where they can't even get a damn appointment before dying. You would think anybody with any kind of a brain would figure that out, people, but they don't. And so the next thing is then they want to have this health care plan. And then the whole concept was really to make it a single-payer program. It was always the idea and the concept. You know, at first it was government-subsidized, and then it was going to be then, you know, yeah, health care is expensive for a lot of reasons. What they didn't even address tort reform in there. I mean, the biggest problem of why health care is so whacked out is because of the attorneys. The cheap-ass attorneys who got their hands in the cookie jar all the time. And then you want to know why this thing, it never had a chance to work. I got to read you something, too. I got in this afternoon here. This is really, it goes along with, Jim, what we're talking about here. You're going to love this, though. Listen to this now. Trump seeks to reorganize the federal government. Now, I love this stuff. Now, this is obviously, you know, this is accurate because Politico reports this. And, you know, Politico is not a fan of the president. Let's just put it that way. That would be an understatement. The Trump administration is preparing to release a sweeping plan for reorganizing the federal government that includes a major consolidation of welfare programs and a renaming of other programs like the Health and Human Services Department. The report is set to be released in the coming weeks by the OMB, and they seek to move like safety net programs, including food stamps, into HHS. Two sources with knowledge of the plan have confirmed this, Jim, you know. And the plan would also propose changing the name of the sprawling department, which separately seeks cuts to the U.S. aid and the State Department. And so these are big, big changes outlined by the White House. Of course, right away, they say they're unlikely to be implemented because in order to move these multi-billion dollar programs around and rename any department in there, you need congressional action. But they're still going to release the budget and release the concept. And the idea is at least they put it out there for people to think about. But the point I'd bring this up is because, you see, Trump, really, say what you want, but he's in Washington, D.C., in the same spirit of what the frame... Trump is really what the framers were talking about when this thing was all... It's people to serve. They go into Washington to serve, and they do what they're supposed to do, what's right for the nation, and then they get out there. They get out of office. And that's why he's up there, you know, turning all the canoes over and irritating people, as he's doing, Jim. And people are getting fed up. And part of the reason is because he's reorganizing things. You see, when you're in there reorganizing things and you're turning government upside down backwards like that, you're going to make people really nervous because these people have job security and they have a lot of other things. It gets, anyways, I just want to point out to you all, big government never works, number one. Number two, this administration is in there trying to reorganize and do some things here. Number three, the things that Jim and I are talking about, including the VA and a lot of the corruptness in Washington. People, it is beyond repair, and it needs help badly. And I just, you know, it's important we address these issues here so you know. We're confirming what some of you know already. And then some of you that don't know, we damn well need you to know the truth. Friends, more Nozzle in just a minute.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Right now, all of the pieces of this book, this major program together. This is a red carpet moment. I've been calling this all week, Jim. I believe this is a red carpet moment for world peace, for the country, and everybody's eyes are going to be on Singapore. I think this has the chance to be a game changer. I've asked a lot of people in the past week about this, and I think you may see a whole nother side to Kim Jong-un you thought you would never see, because this man is looking for the adulation and the world cameras, and you may find a whole nother. I know people don't trust him. I know there's been a history here. I mean, I get all that. I'm not naive. But you also, if you look into the politics of this, Jim, and you look into the psychology in it, it is kind of interesting, and we could see a whole nother man here, maybe, potentially. I don't know. You think it's possible?
Well, certainly this is a major red carpet moment. If you think back, for 65 plus years, we've been dealing with North Korea as an adversary, and we've had talk after talk after talk over all these years, and nothing's been come of it, and we've basically allowed ourselves to play into his hand to get him to where he was at this point. And along comes Donald Trump, who totally flips the bucket upside down and says, I'm going to approach it this way. And everybody yelled and screamed and criticized him, saying he's going to start a nuclear war. And whoever believed a year ago that on June 12th, he would be sitting across the table in a third country.
Yep.
Beginning talks with the United States and North Korea from the standpoint of peace. And, you know, one of the hardline things that hasn't been talked about in this whole thing that got him there was a general by the name of Mad Dog Mattis, who basically laid down the line on Kim Jong-il or Kim Jong-un and said, you know what, you're going to get rid of all your nukes, and that's the way it's going to be. And I think he took... his generals took Mad Dog seriously from whatever standpoint they looked at it, and that's really what brought them there. And of course, there were other players and factors involved. The South Koreans were involved. Certainly, the Chinese were involved. The Russians were probably more instigators than anything else. But because Putin is out of the limelight, and he's basically, nobody pays attention to him anymore, and that's because Trump basically has said, go play over in your sandbox here. I've got world problems to solve in the Middle East, with North Korea, within our own country. And so we're seeing a red carpet moment. This is, mm-hmm. this is, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. you know, it's not quite the signing of the surrender of World War II on the deck of the USS Missouri in 1945, mm-hmm. but it's probably up there as a major world diplomatic event. And
Hey, a couple things I got to tell you something.
Sure.
You bring up Mattis. You know, Mattis was absolutely the most brilliant appointment he's made to date. Mad Dog Mattis. You know that? The most brilliant
Absolutely.
Appointment to
Absolutely.
Date. Most brilliant. This man is a national hero. National hero. In fact, when he does leave, I mean, we need to have an aircraft carrier unit named after Mattis. This man has been a hero. His whole life has been to service and the contributions. And he came out of retirement to do this, remember, Jim? You know? I mean, this
That's right.
was a big deal, and I can't say enough about the guy and how he held everybody to the task. They knew they weren't going to mess with Mattis, and he calls it as he sees it, and he has the confidence. He has the confidence of the military, of the soldiers, the men and women who serve. He has their confidence, which is most important, people. You got to have their. Remember what mode the military was in before that. The other big thing, Jim, you just mentioned, which is huge, if you all remember back to the latter part of the Obama years, let's say the last, second part of the administration, the last 3 years or so, You remember our reputation around the world. We weren't really, and I'm not being a wise guy here, whether you're a Democrat or Republican listening. We weren't in the driver's seat. Let me just say that. And maybe you like that. I don't know. But that's not the place that this country typically has been in. But we weren't in the driver's seat with a lot of these relationships. In fact, Russia was moving into a lot of these, like Syria is point number one. And what happened with Crimea? What happened in the Ukraine? And that whole deal on Eastern Ukraine? I mean, Putin was on the move, is what I'm addressing with you. All that happened under the Obama years. And our respect, although a lot of people were saying, oh, we don't have to be involved in these things. Oh, or, you know, Obama's all about peace or whatever he was about. I don't know. But that's not the role of America. And so we were actually sitting in the back seat of the car as the world car was driving forward. Not a good place for us to be. And what you just said is very actual and very factual, Jim, with the fact that we are now back leading the way and sending Putin back, sort of like we were doing, because when Trump came into office, we were still in the back seat because Obama had put us there. I mean, he didn't want to talk about American exceptionalism. He didn't want to talk about, you know, America the Great. He didn't want to talk about, you know, where we were as a nation and what we had accomplished, Jim. He didn't want to talk about any of that. That wasn't his mode. And so there was this whole change in our country going on, you know, which again, Obama and Bush. I call it the Obama-Bush-Clinton years. Nothing but a disaster for this country over the last 25 years, if you ask me, you know. But you've heard me say that before more than once, Jim, right?
Absolutely.
You know, so I believe that, Jim. I believe you bring up a good point about Putin. I believe he's in the corner now crying. And you can see when Trump meets him. I test you to do this. Go to YouTube. Pull up the meetings with Trump and Putin. Take a look at the body language. Now, take a good look at that, people. Then go ahead and search for Obama and Putin and take a look at that body language. And then tell me what you think. Then write me a report back and let me know what you find, people, okay? Between those. You don't have to hear what they're saying. Just look at the body. I'm telling you, look at the body language. It's all you got to do. You look at that of those world leaders, it will tell you everything you need to know, okay? Let me get off my horse here a minute here and talk to you a moment. I want to get your thought about Iran. What do you think about this? This is could be a very explosive problem, Jim, with so the Obama administration, they're saying they secretly gave access to the financial system to Iran with all these major sanctions going on. And Rob Portman, the Republican out of Ohio, the subcommittee's chairman, said, and I quote, "The Obama administration misled the American people and Congress because they were desperate to get a deal with Iran. And so they gave them access." And what I am seeing and discovering and researching this report, he tried to get a couple of banks. Obama called a couple of banks personally to try to get them to deal with this, and the banks said no. They declined to do it. They were afraid of. They both refused, citing that the reputational risk of doing business with or for Iran was very dangerous, based on the current state, and it was illegal as well. You weren't supposed to do this. Pretty scathing report, no?
Yeah, that's incredible. And certainly no surprise, because this is how the Obama administration handled that whole effort with Iran. Everything was close hold. Everything was under the rug, and there was nothing legitimate. I mean, they didn't. You know, we talked about this before. This whole agreement, this whole Iran deal, there was nothing ever signed. It was a secret handshake between Iran and Obama and the people who negotiated this. There was nothing there. It was every possible thing the Obama administration could do to secretly get Iran to be able to continue their nuclear weapons development. They arranged for the billions of dollars to go to Iran, which I think down the road we're going to find some illegal aspects to that, and there's going to be some hefty fines and things that are going to come out on that, and maybe some people may go to jail on that, and I'm thinking that's probably maybe a year or so down the road. But all of that was basically the strategic impact of that was to go after Israel, because the Obama administration despised Israel so much, they just wanted to allow Iran to be a further thorn in the side of Israel. And that, to me, is really one of the major components of that whole Iran deal. And of course, they even, I'd love to sit around a table with the other signers, if you will, to this deal between France and Britain and Germany, not so much Russia and China, and tell them what fools they were. You know, you signed on to this, and all you were doing was cutting your own throat, because you were, you know, this was all about doing trade with Iran for Iran to buy the technology they needed from these countries to build nuclear weapons that they might use against these countries after they used one against Israel, because the whole thing was basically a nuclear hostage deal for Iran to prevent any type of retaliation against Iran should Iran have attacked Israel with a weapon of mass destruction. And they were, to me, fools to be part of such a thing, but that's what they signed up to with Obama, and that's what they got. And now, you know, they're still part of the deal, but I don't think there will be much to be part of it, looking forward down the road.
Well, Iran's the next one the president's going to go after. I can assure you of that. That's already started, in fact, and Iran knows it. And again, they're going to be watching very closely. They're going to have a really, really strong set of binoculars to be watching what's going on in Singapore next week. I can tell you that much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they'll be watching every detail of that deal for sure. So, well, also, the president today signed a pardon for Alice Johnson. She was the first-time nonviolent drug offender that Kardashian lady there ended up in the White House. They were talking about prison reform, number one, but also talking about trying to pardon this Alice Johnson, which the president looked at all the facts and I guess was first-time offense. He elected to do this. We don't know all the details of this case, people, but the point is that's the prerogative of the president, is to pardon certain injustices that they feel that, you know, that's the whole point of the pardon, is to, you know, look at these things and make careful decisions that maybe justice should have been served differently. And in this case, the president felt passionately about that and went ahead with it. That should be a pretty big victory for the Kardashian gal who's married to the Kanye West, I understand. The two of them are an item, I guess, right? And so that'll be a great social push for probably the Trump agenda, I would think, with Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. These people got they got more followers on the planet Earth than just about anybody. These two, they're becoming like the royalty, Jim. You know, I mean, really, it's like these people, that the followers and the traction these people have, they can make popular opinion change overnight. You know, people like this. You know, I mean. They did that already with their when Kanye West came out in favor of the president recently. Do you know his results from Black Americans went through the roof in the next few days, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely, and those numbers are increasing in a lot of different
for a lot
polls.
Of reasons.
And
right.
Certainly, yeah. I believe this is all part of that, where he's extending his hand to the Black community, and certainly he's fighting the radical, progressive, liberal, democratic narrative that he's a racist, and he's basically showing who he really is, where he's reaching across the table and willing to work with anybody. Now, certainly there's, you know, and I hate to use the word quid pro quo, but in any type of deal or arrangement you do with any organization or group, there's always reasons for doing that, and that's talked about behind the scenes before all this happened.
That's
and so
it.
I think
that's it.
He's basically showing that, yeah, we understand there are problems here and we can fix this, and that was certainly an issue that Ms. Kardashian had that she wanted to address president,
sometimes.
And he gave her the opportunity and showed her, here's what we're going to do, and that was perhaps, you know, one of the many ways that he will be
we'll
effectively reaching out.
I'm curious to see what becomes of this prison reform too, Jim, you know. I'm very curious
right,
to see.
Well, that's my whole point. He's showing that he can walk the walk, not just talk the talk.
Well, and you got to do it with people like this. You got to, you know, you like it or don't like it. You got to. I don't make the rules, people, but it is what it is. You know. Listen, why before we get your prediction here, your last word of the day here, I want to mention here that today, hashtag Global Running Day. Global Running Day. So listen, if you can get out there and run a little bit, today's the day to do it and celebrate the fact that you've got two legs, you can breathe, and the sky is blue, and count your blessings. Today's that day, friends. Global Running Day. Also, there was a, got to share with you this, one of the big cultural things that people were flipping out about yesterday was the fact that IHOP was flipping their name. They're going from IHOP to IHOB. They're changing the P to a B. Little detail that they're getting a lot of miles on with the marketing. Again, these are brilliant. As a marketer myself, I understand strategic marketing moves. This was a brilliant PR move if you're looking for a little attention. And so they're changing the name, and they're getting a lot of free publicity because of it. So they'll no longer be internationally House of Pancakes, IHOP, but it's going to be IHOB. And they put a little tweet out there to get people to guess what the B is going to be. And of course, everybody's having fun with that, assuming it will be breakfast, but maybe somebody said it could be broccoli. Could be something else. Who really knows? Could be booze. Maybe it's the International House of Booze. I mean, who really knows what they're going to do here? But anyways, we'll see what happens with that, friends. And, well, let's get your prediction. Colonel Jim Warshuk, what is it, sir?
I think what we'll see is an end to the Mueller investigation probably by about the 15th of September. I think he will basically, as a result of what comes out of the IG report and any follow-up evidence that comes forward because of that, he will unilaterally on his own shut down everything. I think he may be on a slippery slope, and he may be in violation of a few things that are starting to be leaked out where, you know, he may be in a little bit of trouble too. So I think we'll see the end of that by the middle of September.
Wait, Mueller, you're speaking about Mueller.
Talking about
might
Mueller,
be,
yeah.
Might be in trouble. Got it. Well, you know, we'll see what happens there. But, you know, for a minute, I was really hopeful because I thought you were going to say, when you said the 15th, I thought you were going to come back and shock me and say, I think it'll be wrapped up, Malcolm, by June 15th. I was going to say, wow, all right, Colonel, you know something about that IG report, evidently. But, all right, that would be a game changer for sure. Well, listen, friends, let me give you the last word here, something to think about here. So, you know, all the cameras were on the Philadelphia Eagles coach, Doug Peterson, when he said he was looking forward to going to the White House, and they were looking for what he might say in this press conference he had about the Eagles to see if he would slam the president or something else. And I turned on to see what the press conference might be, and it was absolutely hysterical, friends, because the cameras were all there and the coach wouldn't have it. So Doug Peterson, you know, they had this big moment like, there it is, there's the press conference, Doug Peterson, Philadelphia, what do you have to say about this? And of course, he wouldn't say a damn thing. He said, you know, what you've seen and what you've heard is enough. He said, I'm not going to stand here and discuss it, period. And he kept, and they kept coming at him and coming at him and coming at him, and he denied he wouldn't do it. And he said, no, he wanted to go to the White House. He left it at that. And friends, it just shows you the place of the media. They're only there with the cameras in a press conference if he was going to throw dirt. That's all they were looking for is dirt. If Doug Peterson had come out and said, well, damn that president, what did he? I mean, that would have been the big explosive story. We'd have heard it from here till the summit. But he did the right thing. The guy's got a little class. So I appreciate what he did there with the Philadelphia Eagles coach, Doug Peterson. And he said, no, I'm not going to have that. Just shows you, though. Just keep that in mind, friends. Something to think about with the media and how they are. One thing is certain, friends, there is never a shortage of news. To be continued.